Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
The next 3 days with our live coverage from here at the SHOT Show in Las Vegas. A lot to stay on top of with the national news, with the Montana news, and then, man, we're going to get to run into so many great people. We were just John Jackson, the Joker from X, is here with us. I'm going to pass over the microphone to him later this hour to take over the show because the Montana Breakfast is just getting started with Governor Greg Gianforte and the Montana Department of Commerce and all the great Montana businesses that are here. So I'm going to run up there, say hi to everybody, and more importantly, encourage them to come down and say hi to you on the radio show. But first, we are trying to stay on top of what all is going on back at the Montana legislative session as well. Speaker of the House, Brandon Lear, is with us here, giving us a weekly update. Mr. Speaker, great to have you on the show. I've been in D.C. for Trump's inauguration. Now I'm in Vegas. What all have I missed back at the State House?
Well, whole pile of things. We're running some election reform bills. We're going to tee up some tax reform, hopefully get a bunch of tax cuts worked through. We got Medicaid expansion coming up here today in committee. We've got judicial reform on the floor today. Just a whole bunch of stuff kicking off here in the House.
Wow. Yeah, that's a number of different topics to cover. Last week, the big news was House Bill 121 getting across the finish line. And then President Donald J. Trump, one of the big executive orders he signed earlier this week, was on a similar vein, basically, you know, kind of trying to put a halt to all this radical, transgender insanity that's taken over the whole of government.
Yeah. And with 121, we got that through the House party line vote. And Trump's kind of dealing with the same stuff, and we are going to run a couple more bills dealing with men and women's sports and just kind of keep teeing it up.
Yeah, I got to see Representative Kerry Seekins-Crow in on Capitol Hill yesterday. And then I saw Braxton Mitchell was back there as well. So it's great to see so many Montanans. What, any other legislation that's already cleared the State House thus far? Or is it mostly still committee work at this point?
Mostly still committee work. We've passed quite a few bills onto the Senate. One of the other big, or not big bills, but key bills that we passed was allowing political parties to be able to donate to judicial candidates. That made it through the House, another party line vote. And now we'll go through the process in the Senate. So, yeah, we're getting ready. We went through a lot of the the cleanup bills, the agency bills early in the session, and most of them have now had hearings and passed the House floor. And now we're getting to a lot more of the meaty discussions and meaty bills that are, you know, more partisan basis. So,
yeah, that judicial reform bill, I mean, allowing political parties, it just makes sense. I mean, you've got all these out of state Democrat Party mega donors and dark money groups, Planned Parenthood and the rest, that are funding these, judicial races. So why not allow political parties to do it? That it just seems like an issue of fairness. Hold that thought. We got to take a quick break. We'll be back right after this.
Fox Country.
I'm Michelle Foligno.
That's the trouble with her.
Coming off his performance at President Trump's inauguration festivities, country star Jason Aldean has announced his full throttle North American tour, kicking off May 23rd at the Blossom Music Center in Ohio. Aldean announced the tour to opening acts on Fox and Friends.
Got Nate Smith, Ray Lynn, DJ Silver, who's always out with us, and just looking forward to another great year.
The tour features a co-headlining stadium show already announced with Brooks and Dunn. General ticket sales begin Friday. Luke Combs, Pearl Jam, Casey Musgraves, Dave Matthews Band, Lil Wayne, The Roots, and more will headline this year's New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival, which runs from April 24th through May 4th. The two-weekend event, which features a mix of genres of music and New Orleans cuisine, will also see John Fogerty and dozens more. Tickets on sale now through Jazz Fest website. That's Fox Country on Fox News.
Hey, Dad, how do airplanes fly? What's in this box? Is this tree good for climbing? How are babies made? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Talking to them about gun safety in your home is a good first step, but you can do more. Always keep your guns locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by nFamily Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Substance use disorder and addiction is so isolating. And so, as a Black woman in recovery, hope must be loud. It grows louder when you ask for help and you're vulnerable. It is the thread that lets you know that no matter what happens, you will be okay.
When we learn the power of hope, recovery is possible. Find out how at startwithhope.com. Brought to you by the National Council for Mental Wellbeing, Shatterproof, and the Ad Council.
Are you feeling...
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, quick few minutes here for our legislative update with Speaker of the House, Brandon Lear. First off, Mr. Speaker, I heard you had a pipe burst at the House earlier this morning. So, that's being the Montana Speaker is a little different than being the U.S. Speaker of the House, I imagine.
That's for sure.
Yeah, well, and then when you're back home, you're fighting fires with our friend Tim from Savage and much more. Where do you want to start next? You know, when you mentioned Medicaid expansion, that's coming up already in the State House of Representatives this week. Do I recall right that when Medicaid expansion was first pitched to the Montana voters, we the people said no, and yet the legislature, a handful of moderates, teamed up with the Democrats and passed it anyway. Now it's basically up for reauthorization and for extension. Is that correct? Is that a good way to sum it up?
Yeah. I know that I believe it was 2015, it was voted down even in the House. And then it was up for... they put it on the ballot for, I believe it was the raise in tobacco tax, and that got shot down in 2020 election, and or sorry, 2018 election, and then it was passed in 2019, and then now we're at the 6-year sunset, and it is up for reauthorization, correct?
And of course, you know, that's part of what's bankrupting our federal government. We're $36 trillion in debt. I mean, and these hospitals constantly get ripped off by the federal government in terms of getting paid for the services they provide. And yet still that addiction to the federal dollar in healthcare remains.
Yeah, with the reimbursement rates through the feds. And then obviously the feds pay 90% of Medicaid expansion bill, and the state pays 10, but nobody can guarantee that it's going to stay at that rate. And there is a trigger in this bill to make it to where, you know, if feds ever change their copay on it, if you want to call it that, that it has to be reauthorized by the legislature. So there's still a safe trigger there. And you hit the nail on the head with the addiction to federal dollars. And it's not just in Medicaid expansion. It's rampant through every state and every state government in their budget.
Yeah. So where do you see the House moving? Where do you see House Republicans moving? You've got the majority, but I know some of those rural lawmakers are being pressed really hard by their local hospitals to continue Medicaid expansion. But I know there's some that are saying, okay, even if you're going to continue with the reauthorization, essentially, well, we need to have some reforms in place and we need to put some more sideboards in place.
Yeah. And our caucus is very split on this issue with reauthorization of Medicaid expansion. So, where the votes lie, they lie, but you're absolutely correct. There's a big effort to push a lot of different reforms on it, whether that's going to more of what they call the Georgia model or a slow halt to Medicaid expansion by not allowing any new any new participants on it, just keeping the people on it that are on it. And as they phase out, the program will phase out, you know, strengthening work requirements, which I think with the federal administration and now we have a good chance, even drug testing requirements, strengthening the, you know, strengthening the ability for us to be able to do them key things to make sure that the people that are on it need to be on it.
Yeah, especially it'll be interesting to see what the Trump administration does on this front. That's my other major concern. And I know our friend David Noble's done a great job covering this topic through his Twitch TV stream and everything, is that they, not even just the concern of straight up just extending it and reauthorizing it, but the fact that there's going to be some effort by some to pile on more into the program. And so that's huge. You mentioned a couple of other topics. Where do you want to go next? We've got a couple of minutes before we hit the break and you got to run.
Yeah, we've got some election reform that was heard in state admin yesterday. Representative Bill had a law that clarifies the signing of statewide petitions, and you does not automatically move to a voter from inactive to active status. He had another one to disclose that signature gatherers are you have to disclose that you're a paid signature gatherer. Representative Eckhart had one to say that if you run in an election, doesn't matter what office you're running for, you can't file as a write-in for that same office. And it also is moving the filing date for independence up to just where, you know, everybody else. It's not like they're granted any special privilege or leeway, so that way everybody's on the same page. That way in June you don't all of a sudden get an independent running against you. And then we've all talked about the judicial reform bills. We've got Fiona Nave's administratively attaching the Judicial Standards Commission to DOJ. We've got House Bill 35 that is going to or not House Bill 35 House Bill 65, sorry. The audit of the state bar, there was some contention over that because, you know, some people believe that they're not technically part of state government, but every lawyer has to be, you know, a member of the state bar. That's mandated by law. So, you know, I believe they are part of state government. So we need to audit them financially and performative wise. So,
all right. Well, Mr. Speaker, I'm looking at my clock here. I know you've got to run. I'm going to run upstairs to the governor's breakfast here at the SHOT Show in Las Vegas. Great to catch up with you. I look forward to catching up with you at least once a week to get the latest updates. And great to hear that judicial reform is moving forward in the state house as well. I think that issue could really be the great unifier for Republicans, not just in the House, but in the state Senate, where it's really needed right now as well. So, Mr. Speaker, thanks for your time. Quick break. John Jackson's going to take over the microphones from the SHOT Show right after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Amazon is one of the most famous companies in the world, and it serves as a shining example of how to successfully disrupt an industry. But when the company partnered with hugely successful companies like Berkshire Hathaway and JP Morgan Chase to pursue a new initiative to disrupt the healthcare industry in 2018, people were paying attention. The prospect of forging something new that would break a few eggs and get some real efficiencies and cost savings into the famously bureaucratic industry was exciting. But it turned out to be like one of those tiny Star Wars fighters bouncing harmlessly off the vast surface of the Death Star that is the American healthcare system. The fact that disruption failed doesn't make it any less important that we try to do so, but it does tell us that disruption is hard to do. Recognizing why should tell us what might succeed in the future, because healthcare today is dominated by third-party payers. In fact, government pays for more than half of all healthcare, followed closely by private insurers. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Arkansas Republican Rick Crawford is the new chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. He's charged with overseeing the nation's spy programs. House Speaker Mike Johnson ignited a firestorm, unceremoniously stripping the intelligence gavel from Ohio Republican Mike Turner. When Fox asked Johnson what was wrong with Turner, the Speaker replied, quote, "There's no problem with Mike Turner." Yours truly followed up, asking why then the Speaker relieved him. Johnson replied, quote, "There's a lot of concern. It doesn't have anything to do with anybody inside the building here, but we need a reset." Democrats believe President-elect Trump orchestrated the ouster. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries defended the Republican chairman, calling Turner's removal, quote, "shameful." But Johnson contends the Freedom Caucus or President Trump were not involved. Some Republicans fume privately, one telling Fox that Johnson treated Turner so badly that he's, quote, "never going to vote for another blanking thing around here again." Some conservatives had problems with Turner after he sounded an alarm about Russia's nuclear capabilities in space. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News. Hey.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, welcome back to Montana Talks live from the SHOT Show in Las Vegas. Aaron went up to the Montana breakfast they're having up there. The governor is up there and a few more people. The governor will be stopping by, I believe, in the next hour, and we're going to talk to him real quick. But for now, it is just us. And so some bad news out there, folks, some bad news from Davos. You guys know this meeting they've had every year over there in Davos where all the globalist scum of the world gathers around in some kind of James Bond-like meeting. Dr. Evil and all of his henchmen gather to figure out how they're going to try and crush us, put together their plans, you know, for the future about how they're going to crush us with climate change and with censorship and all these other things. Well, apparently it's not working out for them so good this year. Attendance way down. I saw a picture of one of the meeting spots, and I mean, open chairs everywhere. The place is, it's not nearly as popular as it used to be. And it's really hitting one sector of the business community over there pretty hard. And that's the International Women of the Night. Apparently, they are not as requested as they have been in the past. And demand for their services is down 60%. So the Trump effect all across the world is it's affecting the sex trade in Davos and the ability for all the James Bond villains of the world to get their little trophy babes for the time they're over there. On to more. Funny thing, you guys have to check out this video, and we might be able to play it later in the hour, maybe tomorrow. But the mayor of Philadelphia up there, her name is Sherelle Parker. She decided she was going to try and be a booster for her Philadelphia Eagles the other day, and got out and was leading a group of people out on the street in a chant, and thought she was going to try right there on camera to spell Eagles. Now, it looked like she might have been a property of the Philadelphia public school system, because right there on national television that went viral, the clip of her doing this went viral, she gets out there and in an attempt to spell the word Eagles is saying E-R-L. G-G-S, and you can, the look on her face is, you can tell that she really is not capturing the fact that she can't remember how to spell this word and is doing it wrong. That's who's running, is the mayor of one of the biggest cities in the United States. Somebody that can't spell the word Eagles. So we had Montana legislators already on here this morning. And for all you people back here in Montana, we've got a brand new session of the legislature going. And they only meet, you know, once every 2 years, and we expect them to get our agenda through now that for once, you know, for the past 16 years, we've been ruled with an iron fist by Democrat governors. And now we finally have not only a Republican legislature, but a Republican governor. So we as Montanans expect, we voted for our agenda to get put through. And I just have one comment on all of this. We can talk for the next 30 minutes about all the little dramas and all the little personal beefs and all this stuff going on with that right now. There's all kind of this gossip and this intrigue going on. But I have a message for the folks up there in Helena from the voters. And that is this. We don't care. We do not care about all y'all's little beefs and I didn't get my spot I wanted and I wanted this spot over here and this guy did me in last time, so I'm going to take my revenge on him this time. We don't care. That's not what we voted for. Suck it up. Put your big boy pants on and get up there and pass the agenda we elected you to pass. And if you need to crush some rhinos in the process, do that. And as we know in Montana, we've got a lot of people out there that, because of our demographics, figured out that they were never going to get elected to anything with a D beside their name. So they just put an R beside their name and truly are the true definition of rhino Republican in name only. Well, these people need to get blackballed, called out, primary done, over. Okay? Once again, to repeat, the Montana voters do not care and do not want to hear about your beefs and your little petty problems getting in the middle of the agenda we voted for. Okay, I think that's pretty clear. And I guarantee you, you could bring me up any just average Montana voter that voted for y'all, put them on the microphone, they're going to say that same thing. Bet me. So anyway, on to our next topic for the hour. What happened yesterday was, you guys all know Pete Hegseth is Donald Trump's nominee for Secretary of Defense. And great guy. I'm sure all of y'all know him. You've seen him on Fox News for years. He's that guy, also a grunt, a veteran, a guy that can go in right away and knows what all the problems are and is going to address them like a grunt would. Well, as you can imagine, everyone in the system, with, you know, big quotes, the system up in D.C. does not want any of that to happen. They want that gravy train to keep on rolling. They don't want any stop in the money flowing. They want all their friends to keep getting their spots in the corporation, their promotions, so that then when they retire, they can go out and get those big no-show jobs at Raytheon and at Boeing and all these places. They don't want that apple cart upset, so they do not want Hegseth. And I'm telling you, that's, you know, a good portion of the Republicans as well. Now, they have been cowed down, and they all got shouted down back here in January and are pretty much towing the line now. They got told by the voters that, no, we elected Donald Trump in a landslide, and you will follow through with his agenda. But, of course, that does not slow the Democrats at all, and yesterday, they tried to throw some last-minute dirt at Pete Hegseth, again trying to bring up just filthy, nasty lies about his personal life and you know, his relationships and all this stuff. Well, their lies that they bring up have already been countered and debunked by the people actually involved in it, you know, in affidavits, in statements to the FBI. In other words, it's all a lie. But see, they don't care. And the mainstream media, of course, does not care. This is red meat for the mainstream media. Mainstream media picked this up and ran with it as fast as they could. But it looks like it's kind of died today. And I think it's kind of died today, not just for the fact that it's a lie, but it's because what we talked about in the previous hour. Donald Trump's shotgun fire hose approach here is killing them. Because what they'd really like to do is focus on Hegseth. Focus on Cash Patel. Focus on Tulsi Gabbard or RFK Jr. They'd really like to coalesce around one real attack and smear line against Trump and his people. But they can't. They just can't manage it because every time there's a new wave coming, every 15 minutes, every 30 minutes, just in these last couple of days, there's a new wave coming up that they're just about to stand up and grab that microphone and caboose. The next wave takes them down, and they're even more pissed off about that wave knocking them down than they were the one 30 minutes ago. And I love it. And hopefully that is going to continue into the entirety of his administration. Because, see, right now it's all Trump. It's all Trump doing this. When he gets all of his cabinet picks in there and they get all their people in place, then you can have all of them doing the same thing. So it will just be a massive, constant, nonstop onslaught on the senses and just world of the left and their agenda. And see, when that happens, they can't coalesce around one talking point. Around one attack point. We all know this, okay? Why do we know it? Because we experienced it for 12 years, 12 of the last 16 years. There is the music coming up, and we will be right back in a minute live from the SHOT Show.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Welcome back to the SHOT Show. This is John Jackson. Aaron Flint is upstairs at the breakfast, and he's going to be back down here probably around 8 o'clock. I had some breaking news for you guys. We talked about this a little earlier about this woke bishop, this female bishop that got her shot at Donald Trump and J.D. Vance at the prayer breakfast the other day to vomit her woke nonsense at that, her left-wing nonsense at them. And that, I want to say real quick, that was a major mistake by the Trump team. Whoever set that up should have known who this lady was and should have just embargoed, boycotted that appearance. But now it turns out she is going to appear on The View today. And that, of course, as we know, that's exactly where she belongs, this lady. And that's what this was all about. And that's the reason, the next reason why this cannot continue. Okay. Donald Trump's people, this happened a lot during his first term. He was put out there in positions to be ambushed by these people. And then it's a narrative that they can carry on for however many days and use it to bash him. This can't happen anymore. His staff has got to put an end to it. His staff has got to be on the ball and know who he's appearing in front of, for Christ's sake. You just can't have this anymore. And whoever set him up like that, that staff member needs to get talked to and get chewed out over it. Well, Aaron Flint is back here. He got his breakfast. He got his breakfast done.
I ran down the hall. They're not too far away. I ran down the hall and then just a couple escalator rides up to the fourth floor. And
packed house. I need to tweet out some photos here. Packed house of all the breakfast going on right now. This is the governor's breakfast welcoming all the Montana companies to the SHOT Show. Man, dozens and dozens. Seth Burgley with Shield Arms out of Big Fork was up there, got to shake his hand, say hi to him. He'll probably come down and join us tomorrow. I saw Steve Rast, the guy that had like the leg cast on something. He's a Marine Corps veteran. He always sends a ton of great people our way. He's just so dialed into the veteran entrepreneur space. He's down here at the SHOT Show with LD Defense, Lewis Defense Systems. So great guy out of Bozeman, Montana. So I think he'll be popping back down. He already walked by. Retired FBI guy out of Livingston, Montana. Great guy. I know you're very anti-FBI guys, but so I'm going to get you to arm wrestling or something here later. No, he's going to come down. He's got his son with him, too, Tim Clementi. Great guy. Got to meet him in Livingston a while back. So that'll be fun getting some, you know, fed-on-fed trash talk going here a little bit later this morning. Maybe we'll see. But
I can't wait to hear this FBI guy. Let me tell you this, Tom. Let me tell you this, Tom. I was out on this deal by myself, and I chipped a nail, Aaron, and I got an FBI Purple Heart. It was terrible. I was up to my ass in alligator pants. It was terrible.
God, I think you're gonna like this guy. He's one of the good ones, which apparently you didn't run across him during your time with your law enforcement agency. But and then the governor's going to come down. I just saw him and First Lady Susan Gianforte. His pitch upstairs was awesome this morning is the Montana breakfast. Tonight they're doing a banquet, like a reception for all the businesses they're trying to recruit to Montana. And the governor's message to the folks in the room from Montana is, hey, look, we're telling these companies, look, if you want some special deal, some special tax break that nobody else in Montana gets, go to Massachusetts. He says, we're not trying to give special deals out to businesses that want to come here that you don't get as Montanans. He said, but if you want to come for our way of life, you want to get out of that concrete jungle that's trying to regulate you out of business, I think you'll like Montana. And what we found is many people do like Montana. There's Terry Maxwell out of Bakersfield, California, with his Make America Great Again hat on there. So, yeah, he's here broadcasting live. So KNZR, if I'm not mistaken. But so that was his pitch. But he's going to come down here, too. He also joked. He said, I like to tell people I'm with the government, but I'm here to get out of your way. I thought that was a good line.
That's exactly it. That, every person we elect up there, you know, city, county, state, you know, federal, that should be their job, is exactly that, to get the government out of your life. Exactly.
Yeah, I'm here to get the government out of your way, and that's what President Trump is doing right now. Who's going on The View? I caught in on the tail. I meant to listen on the Montana Talks app.
This woke bishop. You know,
This
Marianne.
She's going on The View.
Of course she is. You knew that. That's what this was all about. And now she's getting a national platform. She was already on CNN last night. Now she's going on The View today. This is why the people on Trump's staff, his team, cannot allow this stuff to happen in the future. He was ambushed right there. They should have known better.
Well, you know, the View is already filled with false prophets. So why not add another false prophet into the mix here, you know, spouting all sorts of nonsense? Did you talk about the affirmative action executive order out of President Trump yet?
Yes.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah. David Noble, he made a really good point. So President Trump comes in and he undoes an executive order that goes back decades regarding affirmative action. And David made a great point. Was it David or was it you? I can't remember who made this point there, but like in all of these years of Republicans, presidents, or, you know, nobody ever thought to just do away with that executive order before. So that's great. President Trump, man, everything he is getting done in the first 48 hours is remarkable.
It's because, I mean, first of all, we all know that so many of these big system Republicans are scared, perpetually scared out of their minds over the media. They don't want the media to attack them or everything. So they don't want to be accused of being racist by doing anything about affirmative action. And you and I know, Aaron, is for how many years after that got put into place, it was fairly harmless. It just meant that a couple of people made sure and got picked because of their, you know, sex or color or whatever it was, and it was fairly harmless. But see, you know what that was? It was the infamous foot in the door. They got their foot in the door with that, and then that evolved into what we saw under Obama and finally under Biden with DEI to just a full-out menace and also full-out racism and discrimination against anyone that wasn't a member of their protected class.
Yeah. So, like I said, I tried to pull up the Montana Talks app, but I was in the governor's reception for a quick few minutes. He gave a nice shout-out to this show. He encouraged all those Montana businesses. He says, hey, if you want to be heard all across Montana, talk about your business, go on down and see Aaron. And I saw Andy Mansour, the CEO of Brickstill Defense, which opened up that ammo manufacturing facility within the last year in Glendive, Montana. He was there. And then another guy came up. He said something, I've got a business, something AI in the Bitterroot Valley of Montana. So I'm like, oh, cool, come on down. Because I was just trying to, I wanted to run back here. But I pulled up the Montana Talks app, and I didn't get a chance to hear some of your great commentary, but I heard that Tatanka Cigar Company commercial. Man, I want to whip out a cigar right now, because I tell you, Ken Weinheimer, who owns Rocky Mountain Liquor, he wanted to build the perfect cigar. And he set out to build the perfect cigar, and that's what he built, was this Tatanka. Now he's built even more different flavors of Tatankas, different wraps. But I love that dark Tatanka cigar, but it's a smooth smoke, you know. And so anyway, good stuff. And that's because that's one of the fun sides of Vegas. Like, I don't gamble, and I'm not virtue signaling here. I just don't want to sit in front of a machine or whatever. But I love, one of my favorite times of the SHOT Show last year was we got everything done and getting to enjoy a cigar on the casino floor at the Venetian. That was like one of the highlights of the week, just hanging out, having a cigar with you and a lot of the other folks here on Media Row.
Yes, Scott bought us a drink. He bought us two drinks, didn't he? Yeah,
I think I had Angel's Envy, too. I was like, oh, my goodness. You know, they didn't have Willie's Distillery. I would have gotten some Willie's, but
that's it. You're talking about drinks and cigars. That's the thing about, a lot of people don't recognize about cigars. It's the same thing as like a fine scotch or a fine bourbon. The difference between junk and the real good stuff, like say a Tatanka, is night and day, man. I mean, you try a good one that really tastes good. I mean, it's night and day.
Well, and that's the problem, is a lot of people who, you know, don't typically do a cigar, they'll just grab some cheap crappy one, or it'll be all dried out because they didn't keep it with a Boveda pack or any humidor or whatever. No, get a good one, and then, you know, try the difference, and then you won't have that, you know, that nasty taste the next day. So, anyway, so one of our great sponsors making this coverage happen, Tatanka Cigar Company, and the Capitol Club in Helena last Thursday, before I did the Friday morning show from the Capitol in Helena, I thought, you know what, I'm going to go down to the Capitol Club Cigar Lounge, went down there and ran into a bunch of great folks, and had a Tatanka right there, Tatanka. I'm going to just walk down the aisle here at the SHOT Show. Tatanka.
No, one leg.
Yeah. Yeah. Before there was Yellowstone, there was Tatanka. Tatanka. But no, it's a cool story behind it, too. He talks about hunting and, you know, respect for Native Americans and, you know, growing up in central Montana and much more. All right, more with John Jackson, the Joker from X, right after this. The governor kicking off the 9 o'clock hour.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
The new era.
It already is.
Do you believe that, Sean?
I believe all of it.
What are you going to ask him tomorrow?
I'm not going to tell you now.
Oh,
you'll have to tune in. You better go catch your plane.
You're at a Hilton. What's her name? Tell me.
Linda. That's Linda.
You're unbelievable. I mean that in a good way. You're unbelievable.
Well, you're the one saying you're going to miss your plane.
Yeah,
I don't want you to miss your plane.
Well, there's snow all over your country, Sean.
I know.
It's snowing everywhere.
It's not my fault. I did not talk to God. Jesus.
Oh, I didn't realize.
No,
I don't
close
speak to
snow.
God. You're not going to do an exclusive Sean Hannity with God.
No.
In the Oval Office, Hannity. And God. His chosen prophet, Sean Hannity. Do, do, do.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
This great country was founded on freedom, and that was freedom from a country that forced us to buy overpriced tea and then tried blockading us when we dumped their tea into the ocean. How'd that work out for them? Well, it's time now to throw out your overpriced big wireless contract, throw it overboard. My friends at Pure Talk, my cell phone company, says no to inflated prices, and with a qualifying plan, of just $45 a month, you can choose a free iPhone 14 or a free Samsung Galaxy. And yes, this is for premium service. You get unlimited talk, unlimited text, 25 gigs of data, mobile hotspot. You get all of it at a fraction of the price of AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile. Also, they use the same 5G network. So get your free iPhone 14 or your Samsung Galaxy. You simply dial #250. You say the keyword save now and check in with Pure Talk and their U.S. customer service team and make the switch. #250, keyword save now from Pure Talk, America's wireless company.
This is House Call for Health. A recent study sheds light on the impact teen stress has on the U.S. economy, finding teenagers suffering from anxiety or depression have a lower chance of entering the workforce once they reach young adulthood. The study also found young adults who experienced stress as teens earned about $5,700 less per year compared to their colleagues. Researchers say if actions were taken to help 10% of teens who are at risk of suffering from stress, it could help save as much as $52 billion in the nation's budget over a decade. Researchers analyzing data from more than 3,300 participants ages 15 to 17. That study was published in the Journal of PLOS Medicine. One lead researcher writes, improvements in adolescent mental health may bring many billions of dollars of federal budget benefits over 10 years, potentially offsetting the costs of policy change that could cover critical services for young people. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Well,
this is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
See, I don't want to get shot at the SHOT Show. I want John Jackson to get shot at the SHOT Show. Hey, I was mentioning, we got the great Lars Larson in the house. Oh, let me turn your headset down.
Oh, thank
I
you.
Cranked it up so I could hear it as a monitor.
I may be old, but I'm not completely deaf yet. So.
Yeah, yeah. So the great Lars Larson, nationally syndicated radio talk
but
show.
But most importantly, former Montana resident.
Yeah, yeah. We want to talk to you coming up in the 9 o'clock hour so the rest of the state can hear you as well. But, you know, right now you're on in the Flathead. And, of course, the Flathead's got you on their weekend lineup now as well with KJJR. But so tell us this story here before we wrap up this hour real quick. So Scott Hoganson was telling us about this earlier. Hey, you guys need to get shot at the SHOT Show. This is like a simulator.
You have to do it because he told
me
Mike Rowe, Dirty Jobs.
Dirty Jobs, yeah, yeah.
He has one of his producers shot instead of him. He wouldn't do it himself. Now, I thought he would do any
I admire the guy, don't get me wrong.
Right,
he's done every dirty job, yeah.
But he tells one of his flunkies to do it. And I said, I'm not doing that. I'm doing it, and
John,
I wanted to do it on the air.
Right there, yeah.
Well, I have producers as well. But what it is imagine this, because in the movies, you see the good guy get shot. And he just kind of carries on. You know, James Bond takes a bullet, no problem. But in real life, if a police officer takes a bullet, let's say, not to the chest, that's probably going to put you on the ground, maybe for good. But you get shot in the arm, and say it's your dominant arm. I shoot with my right hand. I know people who can shoot ambidextrously. I can't. So you get shot in your right hand. Your hand becomes useless. You drop your gun. Now, if you want to keep fighting, not only save your own life, but all the other lives you're protecting as a cop, you got to somehow get that gun in your left hand, then shoot left-handed and keep on fighting. So they said in the past what they do is they take an officer and they tape his hand up and maybe tape it down so that he had to pretend that he didn't have to use that hand. But it's not hurting. Or they put a pair of handcuffs on and handcuff his right hand behind his back and say, okay, now how are you going to fight? This allows them, they put a sleeve on it, and it's basically a jacked up TENS unit.
That's what I've heard,
And they can hit
like electric stimulation, basically.
And they can do it selectively. So if, say, you took a graze wound here, that will sometimes cause your hand to open up like this, and now you don't have control of your fingers, but you've got to keep fighting. And they can do it in the middle of a training scenario. So say, okay, the trainer can sit back and say, all right, bad guy's confronting him, he's fired a shot, I'm going to injure his arm. And he injures it, and it hurts, but it's not a big deal. It wasn't like I was writhing in pain. And I did stop swearing 20 years ago because it's a hazard in our business.
Yeah.
So I don't like F-bombs and all that stuff. So I just stopped doing it. So, and I didn't curse on the air. But what I did was I talked to the gentleman. They sold it to 20 law enforcement agencies already. They're selling it more. It's not terribly expensive. I didn't actually ask the price, but I got the impression it's a training tool.
It's affordable, yeah.
And so,
they can actually get a sense of how they could or should react if they were actually shot and still needed to be.
Yeah, and what they'll do is your arm does chicken wing like this.
Yeah.
It just folds up. Your bicep folds up. This arm folds up. Your arm. And in some cases, your fingers splay. In some cases, they just come and you have no control. And it's still hurting, right? So do that to somebody in the middle of a training regimen. And here's this officer who's hurting. His right hand's incapacitated. What are you going to do now? Are you going to lay down and die and let the bad guy stand over you? Because he said there really are two kinds of shooters. One shooter shoots at a cop, runs. The other kind of shooter shoots at a cop, and if the cop goes down, he walks up and dispatches the cop. We don't want that to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought it was a great tool. And
yeah,
I said,
I'm going to have to try it because it's kind of one of those things. Like, don't have your people do anything that you yourself wouldn't do. This is Leadership 101. And so it's like, but I want to see John get shot, too, with this thing.
Okay.
Like, just for the fun of it. I would be like... I feel like I would be like, remember the deputy in Dukes of Hazzard?
Oh, yeah. I spent 30 years doing that stuff, buddy, and I'm out.
I would turn into like Swiss cheese, like Joe Biden, trying to do a press conference.
The thing.
Lars Larson. Yeah, we'll hope to see you in another 20 minutes.
We've
got the governor kicking it off after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Amazon is one of the most famous companies in the world, and it serves as a shining example of how to successfully disrupt an industry. But when the company partnered with hugely successful companies like Berkshire Hathaway and J.P. Morgan Chase to pursue a new initiative to disrupt the healthcare industry in 2018, people were paying attention. The prospect of forging something new that would break a few eggs and get some real efficiencies and cost savings into the famously bureaucratic industry was exciting. But it turned out to be like one of those tiny Star Wars fighters bouncing harmlessly off the vast surface of the Death Star that is the American healthcare system. The fact that disruption failed doesn't make it any less important that we try to do so, but it does tell us that disruption is hard to do. Recognizing why should tell us what might succeed in the future, because healthcare today is dominated by third-party payers. In fact, government pays for more than half of all healthcare, followed closely by private insurers. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.